This episode is brought to you by Apex Legends Revelry. Hi, friends. I'm Pathfinder, a legend of the Apex games. Would you like to be a legend just like me? I bet. Drop into an action-packed blood sport like Team Deathmatch, or try a brand new weapon to annihilate your enemies. There's never been a better time to join me and play Apex Legends. Or don't join me and let me kill you in the ring. Fun? Drop into Apex Legends Revelry and let's get legendary, friend.
Discover how Chad Bestwich and Artemis Dax of some company you've never heard of were able to reach the next frontier of the cloud without a starship or even cool space uniforms. All they needed was Pluralsight. Watch Nebulo's Journey to the Cloud and discover how you can move to the cloud like a normal human being at Pluralsight.com/vision. That's Pluralsight.com/vision.
The Garden Report is brought to you by FanDuel. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston and get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet.
All right, fellas.
That's
here
a
we
win.
Are again.
That's a win.
Celtics, Timberwolves, Jimmy, Bobby, Josue. What's up, fellas? Celtics take this one. Made it a little bit more interesting than maybe we all wanted it to be. 104-102 in Minnesota to get off the... You know, the little bit of a losing.
No John tonight. John would have came if they
who's
lost.
John? Oh, are you kidding me? He would have been the first guy here tonight if they lost this game. But he instead wished us well after. I think what a lot of people would think was, again, not the sharpest performance from start to finish by these guys. I think we're going to pick out some obvious, some positives, some negatives, as we like to do. But at the end of the day, they did get the win there, so you got to give them credit for that. I'll throw it to you guys first. Just give me, I guess, maybe your main takeaways from this one as we get into it here.
Go ahead, Josue.
No, I was gonna leave with Jalen. You know, I think he deserves that much, right? I just feel like in this game he was effective, and he was also attacking the rim. And I love when he's that aggressive, especially late in the second half when Anthony Edwards was really heating up, and you're starting to think, here we go again. This thing is way too close for comfort. But look, the guys that we've been hardest on, I say we collectively as media members, is obviously the two guys we've been talking about a lot the last couple of weeks, which is Grant Williams and Marcus Smart. And those are the two guys who made the big plays, late in the fourth quarter. So I thought that – I just think that stuff is huge, especially for someone like Grant Williams who, got meaningful minutes all throughout, and especially, at the end of the game – Missoula turned to him because they needed those rebounds. They needed those, extra possessions. And that took trust. He trusted to put Grant in that situation in that moment. And he didn't disappoint. I mean, look, he got the big rebound. He got tied up. And then he made the big play off the jump ball that got the ball to Tatum, another possession. Tatum goes to the free throw line. It's a two-possession game with 1.7 seconds left. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it's got to be automatic. You got to make those big plays, and especially in the postseason when things matter the most, and especially for someone like Grant who's been in and out of the rotation. So I just think that stuff, this is a big momentum building type of performance for Grant.
Yeah, this isn't a great game. I think there's a lot to not like out of this one, and you would have hated a collapse as they almost went on late.
Oh, yeah.
Almost got it.
But Grant steps in there, grabs that offensive rebound. I thought they handled the boards better down the stretch. Timely stops throughout this one, too, to cut runs off. Minnesota ended up going down by double digits, rallied a few times, but could really only get a few possessions away throughout much of this game. So Celtics dug into a defensive mindset early. I like the way they guarded up until late. Edwards got going quite a bit in that second half. So you escape with a win here. You're happy with that. I thought Brown was excellent again, like you, Josue. There were stretches where they tried to emphasize him later where the playmaking kind of slipped with him, and the Timberwolves were able to survive a couple possessions there with Gobert on defense that led them right back into the game. But other than that, perfect night for him. Tatum struggles. Smart showed some life, which is encouraging. Same with Grant, though. I don't think either of those guys came away with bounce-back games in this one, and you skated by against, I think, a team that's better than people think. This is a solid Minnesota team. Like, they do some things that could bother a smaller Celtics team. I think they prevented the Celtics from playing small for a lot of this game. I know we'll complain about White's minutes, but I think that was probably necessary. But overall, you escape. You feel good about that. Where are you falling on, Jimmy?
Well, a few things stand out. Again, this was a Jaylen Brown-led game. And that seems to be becoming more of the norm recently. And really, you know, you can't talk about the Celtics without talking about Tatum and Brown. So I know we joke that we don't talk about Brown enough on the show, but certainly he was the star of tonight's game. And vice versa, another struggle from Jason Tatum, really from
start. I don't think Tatum ever got going, yeah.
He didn't. Finished 4 of 16. You know, if he didn't go to the line, he would have ended up with 3 points tonight. You know, I mean, the guy went to the line 16 times, 14 of 16. 14 of his 22 points tonight were from the line. 0 of 8 from 3. And, you know, he's even said it. You know, he's going to come out stronger with more energy, kind of set the tone early on. He's not doing that. You know, luckily they have another guy in Jaylen Brown who has been playing that way right now. So right now I'm slightly concerned about, you know, Tatum. I'm not to say that he's, you know, never going to find it again, but I'm a little bit struggling to figure out what's going on with him. On the bright side, it was good to see Marcus Smart make a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter for them. The and one, he had the rebound, you know, a couple of nice plays from him. And then you guys touched on it too. Grant Williams getting a lot of playing time tonight. And I can't figure it out. I mean, I'm sure like you guys were scratching our head as to trying to figure out why he can go from essentially a DMP to, you know, playing 30 plus minutes, crunch time, fourth quarter, playing in place of White and in place of Brogdon and, you know, in the rebound. And yeah, Josue, you mentioned the tip there. I got to tell you what, I better not hear any fans complaining about the officiating tonight if you're a Celtics fan. If you're a Timberwolves fan,
yeah, not tonight.
You can complain all you want. But the what Celtics got the whistle all damn night.
Yeah, that
and that jump ball flag, was, I mean, yeah. that's jump ball 101. You cannot do that. So,
I mean, the flagrant, there. The tech. Yeah.
Hey, the play before, you got nailed with no timeout on that play. I mean, Joe must have been sprinting across the court.
But you know what, though?
Went off, so.
The broadcast said that he was, and then the replay, you could see Joe in the corner, and he wasn't. He wasn't calling a timeout until Grant maybe fell to the ground and dove for it. But at that point,
so you think he called it after he slipped out of his hands?
That yeah, once he saw that Grant didn't have possession completely, he ran onto the court and was yelling for timeout, yeah.
Right. But I don't think he was quick enough. I know, right off the rebound, I don't think he was quick enough. But players can call timeouts too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
none of those players had the wherewithal to call a timeout, I guess. It worked out for them and they got the win. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of, you know, pros and cons in this one. I think, you know, for me, again, not to repeat myself, but Tatum obviously stands out as a guy who needs to be, whether or not he wins the MVP or not, he needs to be their MVP, along with Brown. You know, it can't be one person show. This team, no team in the NBA is going to get by with just one guy showing up. Now, the Celtics were able to do that tonight. Timberwolves, I love Anthony Edwards. But without Cat, you know, they're obviously missing a huge piece of that team. And I know Bobby's not a huge Cat fan. But facts are, if you have Karl Anthony Towns in there alongside Gobert, that's a pretty dangerous front court, right? Throwing Anthony Edwards out, and you've got a veteran. I know. Well, that's the issue they're going to have. And then Mike Conley obviously is an established veteran in this league. McDaniels, you know, he was a guy tonight where I thought he kind of hurt them because – he had a couple of wide open shots that he could have kind of put the Celtics in a tough position.
Let's go to that. I didn't think the attention to detail was great tonight. Minnesota crowded.
It wasn't. How many wide open shots?
Yeah, a ton of wide open shots for Minnesota. I thought you saw Tatum and Smart going back and forth a few times. Like, oh, you got this guy, you got that guy. So they didn't guard great on the perimeter. I thought they held down the paint well. Yeah, Anderson, McDaniels. But Minnesota didn't shoot well, so you got bailed out on that front. Offensively, another rough night. Brown aside, so if you take Brown out, you're probably shooting well below 40% from three. That's 22 of
just ugly,
60.
Ugly.
So that brings you to a little calculator here, 36% outside of Brown.
Yeah, Brown was 12 of 24. Horford was 4 of 8. And everybody after that was...
And it stinks because they got off to a good start, Jimmy. Remember that 8-pass play? Griffin's out there flinging the ball around. They get Brown that 3. Every time Brown was involved, I thought some good things happened in that first half. But it slipped. They went on like a drought to end the first. They had that 2-for-1 screw-up with Brogdon. And it just went downhill from there. Tatum missed every 3. Missed a couple of layups in the second half. And Brown even turned the ball over late and really let the Minnesota Timberwolves back into the game. So, again, you're like, all right, nice win. 2-1 on the trip now. It's a tough trip. But you didn't play great tonight at all, I don't think.
No, yeah, I don't even see nice win. I mean, you squeaked one out against a team that's barely above 500. I mean, these aren't teams that you should be struggling against. These aren't teams that should be going down to the wire that you need to, you know, scream for a timeout for at the end. The Celtics, you know, obviously the Timberwolves hit that desperation 3 at the end there that make the score a little bit closer. And, you know, by the way, shout out FanDuel, our main sponsor tonight. If you had bet the Celtics to cover tonight on FanDuel,
I told that guy, you are not
a happy camper.
I told our sales guy, no matter what you do, don't bet the Celtics line. And he went with the money line tonight, so good for him.
Well, there you go, Bob. You need to be giving out those tips to everybody, before, not just a guy. yeah, that was a really, really, really tough beat. More on FanDuel in a bit, but we obviously love FanDuel, and certainly bad beats are a part of gambling. For every bad beat, there's a good beat, right? You know, there's people who are celebrating tonight because of that cover from the T-Wolves. So there it is, FanDuel right there. So we'll get to them in a little bit. I don't want to talk too much about them at this point, but so I'm happy to have them aboard. But back to our original point, Bobby, it's a win. And this was honestly, this is one of those wins where do you learn anything, right? You know, if you lost, do you try to hopefully see a little bit more change or more players holding themselves accountable? We want the Celtics to win, don't get me wrong, but we want them to also learn from their mistakes. And if you're squeaking by wins against teams that, let's be honest, obviously they're not going to see this team in the playoffs because, one, they're in the Western Conference, and two, it would be a stunner if they made it all the way the NBA Finals. Yeah. Right. But this isn't the level of a team that you're going to see in the second round of the playoffs or the Eastern Conference
Finals. Oh, but they might resemble a team you see in the first round, Jimmy. They're feisty. They defend well. Right. They got the big man inside.
But if you're the Celtics, this is a team you take.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year.
Yeah, but those are the ones that've been giving them. Those are the ones that've been an issue for the Celtics, right?
The young guns.
These type of teams. Yeah, I mean, young guys, athletic. You know, size 1 through 5. So it's
size.
I mean, I just feel like the Celtics have to carry on how they finish this game, right? Because it's always been, especially throughout the games where they lose, the end of quarters, especially in the fourth, right? I mean, obviously, in losing effort. So I think that's where Joe Mazzulla has to emphasize, you know, where this team's going, in the sense of everyone having that same mindset that to clean up those mistakes. Yeah, this was an ugly game, but they did what they had to do at the end to win it. And I think that's... We have to credit them for that, you know, because I just think they starting this road trip, this would have been a terrible loss, you know, if you couple the last two outings and you know, for them to start off the road trip this way, you know, I just think this was important for them to finish out the game the way they did. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen in the playoffs when you just – offense isn't there, shots not falling. And let's face it, this team defensively, we're not quite sure who they are right now because it's tough. They give up a lot of points, especially in the second half lately.
Well, rotations too, again tonight, all over the place. Hauser goes down to 2. Griffin's that main guy into the second unit again, right? Early,
it's
but
like
not Joey's late.
Just guessing at this point because he's trying to see what sticks.
They were all over the place in the first half. I mean, 6 minutes in, you go to Brogdon and Grant. Grant hasn't played in many first quarters recently, and he didn't play great in this one. You go to Hauser with Griffin and Grant, you go in a deep, deep bench lineup there at one point that had Brown and Tatum off the floor. And then you go right back to Smart, right back to Tatum just a couple minutes later. So he tossed out 3 different lineups in that first quarter, and then he settled down into some more stable rotations for the rest of the game, but he's trying to get some looks and win these games. And you see how tough of a balance that is for him right now. Josue, you've liked Blake. I thought he was awesome early. But I just don't know if he's going to be defensively reliable enough to play in the playoffs when things really get decisive offensively and you're looking to target guys like him. It stinks because offensively helps him so much with his passing. But I don't know how much he's going to be able to play. And then Grant, it's the opposite. Like, I thought they really benefited from having Grant out there defensively tonight. But offensively, he's still missing every shot and flying in the guys in between committing offensive fouls.
Yeah, Mizzou trying to find that balance right now. And, yeah, I just feel like down low, especially in this game, in this matchup, it was tough for Blake. He got beat up a bit, especially with guys getting in the paint and just sort of shooting over him or getting to the free throw line. So, yeah, I mean,
he's not a rim protector. That's the problem.
Right, right. And I feel like when he's clicking offensively, that can get him going on the defensive end, especially when he's on switches, you know, guarding the perimeter and those type of situations where sometimes Grant struggles in that, you know. So I feel like Missoula right now without Rob, man, he's just doing the best he can in terms of trying to figure things out, how to strengthen this team defensively, because it's a turnstile down low right now. Let's face it. And Celtics have to counter that with playing better, you know, in terms of the pick and roll defense and, of course, in transition, which has always been tough for them.
Massachusetts, listen up. The wait is finally over. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is now live in Massachusetts. New customers in Mass can get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you need to do is sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. Once again, FanDuel.com/Boston. Finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports, from the money line to point spreads to player props, and much, much more. I've already myself downloaded the app. It's super easy to do and super easy to use. It's safe. It's secure. So please don't miss out on your chance, as I said, to cash in on $200 in bonus bets, which you get win or lose. Once again, visit FanDuel.com/Boston. Make every moment more on America's number one sportsbook. Once again, that's FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. FanDuel.com/Boston. Now, you must be 21 or older and present in Massachusetts to take part. You must deposit first dollars initially, and your bonus is issued non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires in 14 days once you make a $5 wager. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, hope is here. Go to gamblinghelplinema.org. Once again, gamblinghelplinema.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support.
And Minnesota bailed them out. We talked about the misses, but Jimmy, that taking Reed out in the fourth quarter, and he was pissed. Sigh of relief for the Celtics, because they had no answer for him in the front court. And Gobert's out there doing nothing.
Yeah.
That was a classic case of you spent all this, you know, all these assets on your superstar and Gobert. You have to play him right in the fourth quarter. But yeah, Naz Reed, he was everywhere for Minnesota. Finished with 15-6, but he made his effect on that game. And you're right, Bobby. When they took him out, he was shaking his head in disgust as he walked to the
Towns had bench. To talk to him. It was weird.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's probably pissed because he probably doesn't like Gobert either. Let's be real, right? I mean, you're playing your heart out
there. This Rudy thing is crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't play him a lot of nights. It is crazy. Like, you give up all that, and right, he's a matchup guy, as he's going to probably be in the playoffs. That is just – I think Bill Simmons said it's going to go down as one of the worst trades of all time, and it really could.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I could see that.
It could. It just sucks that they –
I did hit those
– they lost Kat so early in the season, man. He's been out since, like, Thanksgiving. So.
November, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they say today is he's a couple weeks away.
He might come back next week.
Close. Next week, yeah. Said,
same as Rob. City's Rob's kind of looking for a return next week, we heard today. So yeah, they could have used Rob tonight.
What was that, Bobby?
I think he said it.
What
Joe
was the
said,
Rob report?
I think Joe said pregame that he's about a week away.
Okay.
So they hit the 10-day mark, and now I think he's just going to ramp up. And as he said the other day to Himmelsbach, get moving. So we'll see how he moves. No, he's going to get moving now and hopefully be back in a week. So what are we talking about there? No weekend games against Portland.
Indies next Friday.
Yeah, so I think start of that homestand makes some sense. Get a couple practices in next week. Again, remember earlier in the year he went on that West Coast road trip and we all thought he was coming back and he didn't play on it. It feels like the same thing's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm. You can see that.
Unless he sneaks into that Kings game.
He's got to get in there soon, though, because he's got to ramp up for the playoffs. And obviously you don't want to have him fresh off ice going straight into the first round. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that would give him 9 games if he comes back for Indiana.
So there's been, you know, on our show and just I think around town, there's been a lot of talk about the fourth quarter playing time at the guard spot, right? And tonight it was Marcus Smart. Has been, and I think the difference tonight was we just saw no Derek White whatsoever. At any point in a meaningful fourth, you look at the plus minus tonight on the Celtics. I think led the team in plus minus, Josue. Or Bob.
Tonight,
I'm keeping an eye on it.
I'm gonna say.
Take a wild guess.
Jalen?
No. Derek White. It was Derek White himself.
The way you set that up, I should have guessed Derek.
Yeah, I was like, dude, like I'm trying to make my
come on, Joe Sway, right? The coffee's in you.
You know, plus minus isn't everything, but I think especially when you come off the bench, it's an important stat. And Derek White was a plus 11 tonight in 24 minutes, which is 10 less minutes than Marcus Smart, obviously. The fourth. Now, again, Marcus Smart did have a couple of, you know, important plays, I would say, in the fourth quarter that stood out to me, and I already mentioned them. He had the nice and one shot there, though I think he missed a free throw.
I don't know. Then, yeah, he missed the free throw, and then he sneaks underneath. He was running like a screen play with Tatum, and they were
that was a nice
Tatum.
Play.
And he snuck right in the backside. I don't know if they win without that play. So credit to him. Two huge baskets.
That was a nice play.
Time.
Right. And so I guess that's enough to save his fourth quarter playing time. I think he was. I think that playing time was a hot button topic over the last few days here. But it seems like Joe, and there are obviously obvious reasons to it. I mean, what he gives you on both sides of the court. But I just think Derek White, once again, being the odd man out in a year where he's, you know, unbelievable, and I think he has been their best guard overall, I think Joe needs to find a way to get him involved a little bit more. And I know, Bobby, you mentioned that, you know, the Wolves being a little bit bigger could have played into the fact that Grant got the playing time tonight over Derek White. Is that more of what you guys are seeing the reason, or... is there something else to this Derek White not getting enough burn here?
Yeah, I think that could be it. You know, I just think he's he picks his spots, you know, especially in the middle quarters. But it seemed like in the fourth, though, especially when it hits like the halfway mark, it's tough, you know, when it comes to Derek White. I mean, sense of how the game is going, you know, sometimes we'll keep him in there, sometimes he doesn't. But I just feel like, yeah, you're right, Kyle. It's true. I just feel like it was like a trick question or something. I was like, Jalen? But no, I should have said White. Because he's been that guy, right? That's the main reason, right? I should have said that. But also, I just feel like he wants to get Smart out of this funk really bad. And look, those two shots, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter, they were big, you know. But there were a couple of questionable plays from Marcus, especially when the ball was swinging and he made some questionable decisions, which didn't lead to him being benched. But I mean, look, the end result, I just feel like Joe Mazzulla, that's sort of like he expects that from Marcus no matter what. He could be having the worst game in the world, but he's not going to be shocked when Marcus makes that big play at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple fouls, you mentioned the missed free throw, Jimmy, a couple misses down the stretch, too. You got, I'd say, like 50-50 production from him here, and I do see why you'd want him out there, because he always seems to do something late in a game that's going to help you. And even tonight, early in that fourth quarter, that nice grab steal on, I think it might have been Reed or Anderson was right in that area, goes to the floor. I think he got fouled by Reed, and he pops right up. He's like, tee him up, tee him up. And they did tee him up.
Yeah.
So you had little things like that that I think impacted Minnesota. A couple of guys ended up getting ejected by the end of the game. You want to – and I'm going to be consistent because I've said this about Grant. You want this guy involved and engaged come playoff time, so help him work through whatever he's working through right now. The problem is it seems to be physical. A couple moments tonight he tweaked that ankle. The second time, I think, really seemed to bother him, but he didn't come out of the game after either of those. At one point, he went to the bench grimacing a little bit. I can't even count how many times we've seen him tweak that at this point. So it's tough because we talked about this the other day. Pritchard's out probably for the entirety of this road trip, maybe longer. He seems like he's really hurt. So you can't just sit down smart and say, White, Brogdon and JD, you handle this tonight, because they've gotten into some foul trouble in some of these games too, and JD just isn't ready. So they're actually in a tricky spot at guard, as much as it seems like they have too much there because White's getting left out of it. They actually don't have enough to actually sit smart down, I don't think, right now. So it's tough because White's been their best guard all year. Brogdon's your best shot maker. And smart might be the most important for you come playoff time to be playing well. So that one's trickier to me than Grant, because Grant's competing with Hauser and Muscala and Blake and these guys that just aren't giving you a ton. Like, I think Grant should be out there every single night. Smart, White, Brogdon, it's – I don't get it, Josue. If someone's playing better than Smart, or two of the other guys are playing better than Smart, rather, Smart should be able to say, all right, just for tonight, it's not my night. And we're going to go in this other direction, because you could just bounce right back the next night. No one's saying bench Smart. No one's saying cut Smart's minutes off the chart completely. Like, I think you need all three of these guys. But this unwillingness to shift away from the Smart closing minutes at guard, I think, is going to hurt this team in a spot if Missoula doesn't get a little bit more flexible there. And it's also on Smart, I think, to accept that.
I mean, it's going to be a moment where he has to make that decision. I don't think it has to be, you know, 100% every single night. No. I mean, maybe we're just waiting for that to blow up in his face, you know, or maybe we're waiting for the opposite, for him to make that call when the night is right, you know, when he feels like it's that time to bench him and keep him, you know, keep him out of it. But I just always think with Joe Mazzulla, it's a trust thing. You know, he just likes Marcus out there. It's just something about it that he's waiting for that big play for Marcus to make and for him to say, that's why, you know, that's why I kept you in the lineup.
And I understand that, but you're cutting off White almost every night because you're going to want Brogdon out there for shot-making purposes.
Yeah.
And White, you stack it up, Jimmy. White's been their best point guard. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And what I'm saying is, Joe Sway, I mean, like, he might trust Smart, but, I mean, for everything that Smart does well for this team, I think we would all agree is the most. I mean, so he gives you, you know, he gives and he takes, right? I mean, everyone, that's some experience. I mean, when you line up Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, and Derek White, and you say, okay, who's the – I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, what that answer is. So, yes, I'm sure he trusts him, but also Marcus Smart could be the guy that, you know, tries to do too much out there or – you know, makes a boneheaded play for whatever that might be,
right.
A silly pass.
Which is why that could blow up in his face. Too aggressive. You know, it could happen, too. It could happen on the trip, you know. I just think that's – I mean, to answer your question, I just think that's what it is, really, you know. And we've seen we've seen Joe pretty much all season – well, maybe not all season, but we've seen him in often just kind of hold back on Derek White a bit, you know, and then put him in the lineup.
Because White's the most willing to accept it, right?
Right.
Right. He's not gonna contest it, especially when he's putting together his best season.
But you don't know, test him. Don't, just because he's
well, yeah,
nice.
I mean, look,
don't take
the kind
advantage
of he's
of
having,
that.
He's not going to question that. And that's just not who he is. But also, with the kind of season he's having and the way he's been playing since, I don't know, a week before the All-Star break, going into after the break, he's been huge. His numbers have been, you know, he's been arguably the most valuable player, one of the most valuable players.
And tonight might not have been the night, but you do need to start to test out that three-guard lineup a little bit more to get them all the appropriate minutes, because I don't think anyone's saying cut Smart off completely, but you should probably balance these out a little bit more. And tonight you're looking at Smart with 35, Brogdon with 31, and White way down there at 24. And as you said earlier, Jimmy, you lost those in the fourth quarter for the most part. Like, he snuck in for a second, I think, and then he was right back out of there in favor of Smart. So They need balance between those three, and tonight probably wasn't that night because Minnesota's bigger. You needed reinforcements on the boards. You needed size to defend them, and I felt like they defended pretty well for much of this game, especially inside. Another good Horford game in there, piled up the stops. But you're going to want against certain teams, and I think Portland's probably a good opportunity for this coming up. Or Utah, rather, too. Three guards, space that four out, have playmakers all over the floor. And that can probably cut down on Tatum's minutes a little bit, too, because I feel like you could actually survive out there with Brown, Brogdon, White, and Smart.
Sure. I mean, it is matchup-based, and then, now you start to look at, you know, postseason matchups and say, okay, well, who are the teams that they could be playing in the first or second round, and would that allow for more White minutes in the fourth quarter, or is it going to be a bigger team? Like the Bucks, for example, I mean, that's a bigger team. So how does that shake up? Philly's a big team. So what does that do to a guy like White in that situation, right? Does he end up being the automatic out again because they want to go with a little bit more Grant? You know, the Grant is the Giannis stopper.
And you're going to throw Rob back in this equation too soon.
Well, we'll see. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself with the Rob stuff until I actually see him on the court giving you meaningful minutes at a percentage of his health that actually helps the team. I'm not even going to really assume that he's going to be a big factor. Here's a couple. Maybe this person missed the beginning of the show because we kind of talked about Tatum off the top. I do want to transition back to Tatum.
The Tatum thing's just so confusing.
We'll get to that.
We were questioning Tatum from the beginning, right?
We were. And we're going to do that right after this. I want to remind everybody that today's show is brought to you by our main sponsor.
All right, I want to talk about our next partner here on the Garden Report, and that is Athletic Greens. It's a product I started taking literally every day since AG started working with us here at the Garden Report. I use it because I want everything that AG has to offer, better gut health, more energy, optimized immune system. I didn't want to chase a bunch of pills and vitamins. I just wanted to have one supplement that did it all for me. And that's exactly what Athletic Greens does. So what exactly is it? What are you doing when you're taking Athletic Greens or AG1? You are absorbing 75 high quality vitamins and minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens that help you start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports, as I mentioned, gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those good things. So again, get into AG1 right now. It's lifestyle friendly. It's diet friendly, no matter what you're on right now. Paleo, gluten-free, vegan, dairy-free. It really doesn't matter. AG1 fits with your diet. It only has less than 1 gram of sugar. It's a highly endorsed product, over 7,000 five-star reviews, recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts. And AG1 is the supplement for you. So again, it's time to reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens and us here at the Garden Report are going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/garden. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/garden to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
This is interesting. So I'm looking at the scores around the league, and we'll get right to Tatum. But this is something I talked about at the deadline. The Celtics get the Rockets pick if they can sneak below the Spurs in that lottery race down to 3. Right now they're at 2. They beat the Lakers tonight. So the Celtics own the Rockets pick, second round pick, if it falls below 32. So down the third worst record. Right now they're at 2nd. They're a game and a half ahead of the Spurs, ahead in the lottery race. Mm-hmm. And they won tonight again after beating the Celtics the other night. So if the Spurs finish with the worst, they're giving up the pick either way. It goes to Indiana if it's 31 or 32. I forget what trade that was. But the Celtics got this pick.
For the lottery.
Well, actually, no, all the odds are the same, 1 through 3. So as long as they're bottom three, they're okay there. But Celtics could add a sneaky I know it's a second round pick, but that's like what their first round pick would be, 30, right? Or 29 yeah. probably at this point. So they could add a sneaky pick there if the Rockets keep winning, which I like. That's from the Desmond Bane trade, which is infamous yeah. at this point.
Another guy that they can draft and stash and never play and then trade at 25 cents on the dollar.
Love hey, that. 30, 33 is not a bad pick, especially when you don't have your first rounder.
It's not. Get into it then, before we get more criticism. And actually, we did get, I want to make sure, I hope I didn't miss it. Anyways, Bobby, you start on Tatum's, no, here it is. I wanted to make
I sure. I want to go Josue because I don't have a clue. What's going on?
For chat tonight. Can we talk about Tatum and this three-point chucking? Thank you, S. Austin.
He's hurt. He's tired, a little bit of both. Like, that's usually the case when it comes to Tatum doing this, right? I mean, the rest thing, which I don't think is the case in this one, right? I think it's more of a, I don't know, he's trying to go through, he's trying to fight through the kind of injuries that have been nagging him this season. I feel like he's going to need a day off one of these nights soon. And look, I know people are going to say, oh, he's so young and this, that, and the other. Well, he's just going through it right now, and I feel like this is that's the sign of Tatum going through it when he's chucking threes and he's not trying to attack and he's just he's resorting to those type of attempts because he just knows that there's a wall waiting for him, you know, when he tries to go into the paint. I mean, look, in transition, he does try to he's done a good job getting other people involved and swinging the ball around, but yeah, man, he's just been really out of it in terms of trying to find his offense and just trying to find his rhythm.
He didn't hit a single jump shot tonight. All four of his makes at the rim. That probably hasn't happened this year. So that could certainly be part of it, Josue. He missed everything. And some of them were off balance. Some of them were leaners, especially on the left baseline there. But they want him to launch. We've been talking about this week, Josue. They want him firing up those tough, contested shots to change the way defenses look. So in some way, they're sacrificing his ability to score and his ability to get easier looks to help free everybody else up. And I'm sure that's benefiting Brown. That's certainly benefited Brogdon and some of these other guys. But he's just not hitting them. And you're going to need him to hit tough contested shots in the playoffs, I think, to be successful. And as much as we talk about everything else, Jimmy, and I think Berandoni's been big on this on Twitter, the way the Celtics are going right now, they just need Tatum to get back to what he was doing earlier in the year. And that'll solve half their issues.
Which is?
Scoring efficiently, getting easy looks, I think is a big part of that. But that's going to free up his playmaking. That's going to free up his defense. They really need his defense right now, too, I think. Like, all these different areas where he impacts the game. I think all these missed shots are probably getting to him. Like, I don't think you're getting the same level of defense when he's shooting 0-for-8. I don't think you're getting the same level of ball movement and player movement from him, frankly. Like, he moved well early in this game. Did you see much movement from him in that second half, Jimmy?
No. Lethargic. He took a horrific three-pointer with what was that three-pointer he took?
The one against Gobert?
He would it was like right in those like the elbow area type three or and
yeah.
it was right and he kind of faked it. Gobert didn't really bite enough and he was right in his face. I mean, you're talking about I know that we like to crap on Gobert, but let's be real here. That's not a smart shot to take with a guy like him right in your face like that. I think, you know, you pass it up in that situation, you try to get the ball back, you drive to the hoop. When Tatum drives, he's pretty damn good. He's creative.
And if you have Rudy on the perimeter,
gets to the free throw line,
he throws it down.
Yeah. He did that a lot tonight.
Yeah, he gets to the free throw line, and he did tonight. But I think to what you guys are saying, when that shot doesn't start to fall, he gets a little pouty. Yeah. Right? He starts to sulk a little bit. He's not going at 100%. And I haven't seen him really going at 100% in quite some time now, where you look around and I do see a guy like Jaylen Brown going at 100%, running up and down the court, playing hard on both ends. I think his aggressive better than what Jason Tatum's is right now. I don't know if Tatum just feels like play a little bit slower of a style or more of a lethargic way. I don't know what it is. But I'm calling out his energy. The shot making has been a problem all season. He's just not shooting good this year, I think, compared to, you know, the scoring is fine. He's finding ways to score. But that outside shot, and Bobby, you can back me up on this, I'm sure you're falling at a clip that you'd like to see from him.
Yeah, when you look up at the pull-up shooters in the league, he is down there among the three-point shooters, and I'd, you know, have to stack up the qualifiers here, but I think he's below 30% on those threes. Tonight probably took an even bigger hit at that. And Brown hasn't been great either, but Brown got off some quality looks tonight, moving. It's almost like Brown's playing a different style than the rest of the team right now in terms of how he's getting off shots and what he's doing offensively. He's just been so good. Everybody else is just kind of launching for the most part, and he's digging deep into the post. Yeah. He's pulling up from mid-range at a high rate. Tatum now 29.7% from three on pull-ups, and it's at five a game, which is a decent percentage of his looks. Smart, not great either, 28% below him. But, you know, the team has...
We expect that from Smart. You know, I think with Tatum, you're expecting more than that,
yeah.
Right? I mean, this is the guy. This is the guy that's supposed to take you to the promised land. And it's shoot poorly, but it's another thing to let that affect the course of the game on the other end of the court or not playing they're capable of playing. You're supposed to be setting an example, and he goes up there and sits at the podium and says, it's on me. I need to come up with more energy. I need to be this. I need to be that. And then plays the same style the next game.
That's fair. Yeah.
we're not blind. You know, we're not stupid. Like we're not just going to take what you say and say, oh yeah, you know, he's saying all the right things. He's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then pretend like you didn't just do the exact same thing you can't do.
Let's take this back to the White conversation, because I think Brogdon looks at his role right now and he sees himself as a shot maker, the way he's playing stylistically right now. We know what Tatum wants to do, which is pull up from three. We know what Brown wants to do, which is catch the ball in the lane and finish. So who's setting these guys up? You normally would be looking at Smart and say, oh, he does a great job getting these guys the ball in their spots, but he hasn't done that lately. So going down the line, your next best playmaker is White. And White, I think, when he catches the ball, almost always makes a good decision. And I think this is what's probably frustrating Missoula most right now, is that they're not making the right reads. Time and time again, they drove in this game. Minnesota brought a second defender over, and they weren't passing out of those spots. And if they did, they weren't great passes. So right now, they're lacking playmaking, which is why I think the offense looks so off balance. You have guys needing to create their own shots, which can run them into some danger offensively. And you're not well organized. And Smart, I think, did a little bit of a better job tonight. Had that nice pass to Tatum, I think, on the play where he got shaken up. You know, he had a few nice passes in this one. Played some nice two-man game late with Tatum, which I think always works well. But he's still kind of getting back into the rhythm of the game, I think, after returning from injury, to where he can make all these plays and find these guys in the right spot. So that's why, on top of everything we talked about earlier, they need a little bit more White to me. He can just settle them down a little bit.
Yeah, he's sort of the glue guy. That's mm-hmm. a good point. Yeah, I mean, look, they barely got 20 assists in this game, which is kind of similar to what we saw the other night. And, you know, obviously, this thing could have went either way if Anthony Edwards connects on a big three, you know, or at least it goes into overtime. So, not Justin. He just got the night off. But I just think with White, though, like – I just feel like it's one of those things where he's the glue guy. He can be that guy offensively and you know, and everything, but there's got to be other guys as well. Like, guys got to get more comfortable and have to get out of their funks, whether it's Marcus or whether it's, you know, even like the fact that we didn't get a whole lot of Sam Hauser in this one. Like this whole minutes thing that Joe Mazzulla's trying to figure out, I mean, it's tough without Rob, but I think that's also playing a part into seeing that deficiency, right? Or seeing those with the Celtics come up short on offense, and then what they're doing on defense too. Like, I feel like it's the two go hand in hand, right? When the offense isn't clicking, or guys seem to want to do things on their own and not swing the ball the way they used to, the way that that offense was, especially when the three ball is not falling, they really mess up on defense. And then all of a sudden, there's, you know, layups, there's miss coverages and guys down low getting layups. I mean, we saw that a lot, especially in this one. You know, guys like Anderson getting those easy layups down low. So I just think it boils down to the defense. I mean, if the team can get back to playing defense and without Rob, it's tough. They're trying to figure that out, but they have to step it up a bit on this road trip. You know, they have to, because otherwise it does affect their offense. We've seen that, you know, night and night in and night out.
Yeah, tonight proves that, because they didn't do much great offensively and still came away with a win. So they obviously defended at some amount of a level that held Minnesota to, I think, what was their final score overall? 102. So they basically had them at 99 before that last heave, which is really good in the league now. You're seeing teams score 110 pretty much every game as a bare minimum. So I like the defense tonight. I think they did some good things schematically that slowed the Wolves down until the second half. And they need to do that. But the big thing you're looking at, Josue, with them is that they're not as switchy and disruptive as last year. In this game, you have Horford back at the net a lot again. Yeah. You're not forcing many turnovers. What was Minnesota's final number there? I think they had 13. Minnesota. So that's a decent number. But it didn't lead to much on the other end. So you got to get out and run. Got to play with some level of pace. Got to get on the boards, too, which became an issue in the second half. And yeah. This is what Joe keeps talking about, these little things. Free throws, I think they did a good job with that tonight. That helped Tatum out especially, and they end up winning that battle 30-22. Rebounding, they lose, but they kept it tight, especially on the offensive glass. And what's the other one he likes to mention? Turnovers, and you win that battle as well. So that's what I know Mazzulla is going to say tonight, is that we won all three of those battles. That's why we won this game, even though we didn't shoot well.
Right. He'll definitely mention ball movement for sure. He always brings it up.
And that's big. Yeah. I mean, they shot 30% from three, Josue, tonight and win. They have pretty much won and lost games at the three-point line recently.
Well, Minnesota missed a lot of shots as well. But, I mean, that's obviously a testament to who they are. But, yeah, when the Celtics needed to make the big plays in that fourth quarter, they did. I just think it's – you know, when you look at the identity of this offense, this isn't the type of, you look at the box score, this isn't a win, you know, from what we've seen throughout the season. However, they found a way to pull it off. And I think that's obviously what's most important, but you're wondering, how is this offense going to look for the rest of this road trip? You know, how are they going to find that balance? And sure. Yeah. Tatum has a lot to do with that. I mean, I still commend him for getting to the free throw line that many times. I mean, like 14 to 16, like that was so rare before this season. And obviously he's getting more calls this year compared to last year. And, you know, when he's not shooting, he's starting to go into that mindset of being sort of a playmaker slash, you know, get to the free throw line, trying to find that offensive rhythm. It didn't necessarily click in the fourth. You didn't get that big offensive production, but Jaylen stepped up in a big way. And, like, all this stuff matters, I think, because the Celtics, again, like, you want them to have the right momentum to finish the season strong. But, I mean, they're going through it right now. But you're seeing them figure things out without trying to win by, you know, making a lot of three-pointers, without making frustration-type plays. I mean, they're playing smarter at the end of the fourth quarter. So that's a step in the right direction.
It is. They didn't hold on to that lead great down the stretch.
No lead is safe for the Celtics. I mean, that's a big part of who they are, and it's not a good thing. But yeah, you want to see them, you know, try to get away from those habits. But giving up, you know, offensive rebounds and letting teams go on those little runs in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's what's going to happen. That leads to a one possession game at the end of this. I mean, it was technically a two possession game, even though that three pointer went down at the end. You know, Mike Conley makes it, but I mean, look, if Tatum doesn't make those free throws, Minnesota has another shot to tie or win it at the end.
This episode is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. How has Anheuser-Busch brewed America's favorite beers for nearly two centuries? By investing in its people, from farmers to truck drivers and everyone in between. Because beer is better enjoyed and made together. And together is how they're building a future with more cheers. Learn more at anheuser-busch.com/community. That's anheuser-busch.com/community. Enjoy responsibly. LDA 21 and up. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, so they take out Reed, which we mentioned earlier was a big deal. Brown gets a nice turnaround to go that pushes them up six. You get a couple Minnesota misses. Rudy missed some free throws, a couple stops. Horford hits a three, so that put them up nine with six to go. Tatum misses a shot. Brown turns it over. I think Smart missed a shot in the lane as well, so they missed three shots in a row. Minnesota scores the other way each time. I think Edwards scored all of them. So that cut it down to two with 4 minutes to go. You got those couple good Smart finishes to kind of save the game. Rudy hits an alley-oop in between. Tatum hits a couple free throws, as you said, which was huge. McDaniels hits a couple the other way. Rudy hits those ones to cut it to two again. And then you get that Tatum three that Jimmy mentioned, the one against Gobert. You had a Tatum offensive foul. You had a smart heave miss that Grant got the rebound on, and that was the game right there. So it's not like they exactly slammed the door with great offense down the stretch. They slowed down. They got a couple key offensive rebounds that saved them, and Minnesota just couldn't score on enough possessions to completely overcome a lead there. It wasn't the kind of execution in crunch time that's going to boost their numbers in that spot.
Right. No, it's not. It's ugly. It really is. But this is one of those games where if you're the Celtics, you're happy. You're obviously happy you won, but you also know that it's going to be a long film session tomorrow. And that's good. You know, I hope, you know, but look, he doesn't have to tell us. He doesn't have to be open about what he does. But I hope Mazzulla really, you know, gives them a hard time because, yeah, they won the game, but there's a lot to learn from this game. And I'm expecting a huge, a significantly better performance from this team offensively, and especially with Tatum. I mean, at least a step in the right direction. Not what we saw today. It's just something that's more efficient. Maybe it's not going to be a 40-piece, you know, that type of performance, but just something that's efficient where he's stuffing the stat sheet and just trying to get everyone involved.
What could help this team out in crunch time, Jimmy? Is it lineups? Is it plays from the sideline? Because they just slow down consistently and they blow the lead every time. No, we don't have Jimmy. No audio.
You're muted. He's there, but he's muted. Yep. There we go. Yeah.
Okay. I'm having like a weird freaking delay. Sorry for the internet issues, boys. I'm in Brockton tonight, apparently. But we're just going to have to deal with it.
I didn't know you were in town.
I think what I was trying to say was the talent is there, right? Whether it's White in the game, whether it's Smart in the game, we're talking about guys who are capable of contributing to a team that can win a championship. What happens to me is that sometimes it feels like there's no leader at the end of these games. They tend to lose their composure. They don't play connected, right? And I think a lot of the things that maybe got them to a lead into that fourth quarter, they get away from, especially in the second half. Even tonight we saw like a little bit more stagnant with the ball. I think for me, a little bit more of a purpose with execution. So many of these games, it feels like they're either playing the clock or they're just not playing smart basketball. And
yeah, they went down to the shot clock a lot tonight.
Yeah. And whether that's something that needs to come from the sidelines, Bobby, I'm not sure. I mean, Mazzulla had a couple of timeouts to use tonight. I mean, every game they seem to have a couple of timeouts that they, in more cases than not, choose to just leave. I don't know if you can cash them in at the end of the year for some kind of bonus, but other than that, I don't see the point of not using them when you have a chance to. Same page on the sidelines. That, to me, is what it is. The talent, it seems to me, it's been there. It's the style of play. It's almost feeling like they're playing not to lose instead of playing to win when in these games. And that mentality isn't going to get you to where you need to go. You need to just play confident, strong basketball, smart shot, you know, taking. And I feel like that's the other thing, Bobby and Joe Sway, is that – and it maybe it's coming from Joe, but they rely so
– Do you intend that?
No, I didn't, but sorry.
Because he's the one that's been – questionable with the shot selection, but sorry, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, how many field goals they had in the final 2 minutes, Jimmy?
Two.
No.
Zero.
They had zero? What do you mean?
They had zero makes.
Zero attempts, zero makes. It was free throws and, yeah.
Free throws, a turnover, the offensive rebound, and then the free throws after that.
They missed
three shots. Oh, well, they dropped three possessions.
So that's a perfect example of like just the ish hitting the fan, you know, in the closing minutes of these games, which we've seen a number of times this season. And in the playoffs,
isn't that perfect evidence that they need to shake up the group that's on the floor?
Yeah, I would say so.
Point.
I would say you need a more of a steady hand in there, right? And if that's Derek White, then toss him in there. You know.
Tonight it wasn't Grant, and we should get to Grant too before we get out of here because makes the big play at the end, but it really wasn't his night overall.
No, I mean it hasn't been. But you know.
Yeah, but
you asked me that question. Did you guys already answer that question before I came on?
Players say often, or at least they used to. It's something to build off of, right, Bobby?
A little bit. I mean, he needs it. He was so deep in the
Jimmy,
hole.
You remember that, right? That was like the thing. That's what you always heard in the scrum when a struggling player had that one big play down the stretch. Yeah. You know, something to build off. If you're that line if someone is asking you questions today.
Well, I mean, it erases the offensive rebound tonight, erases those free throws from that other game, I think, in that spot.
Does it? I'm not gonna say.
No, because they might have lost this game if they.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. If they lose, everyone's pointing at Grant. Everyone's pointing at where was Tatum, but specifically, it would have been Grant because everyone would have said you play Grant and Derek White was on the bench and you lost this game because of that decision.
You can't look at Smart tonight. He had the two big buckets. So you're looking at Grant in crunch time there, and he comes through with the offensive rebound. But man, shoot the ball. Shoot it!
When he starts hesitating like that, you know what kind of night's going to be. He hesitated earlier, and I was like, "Oh, that's what we're doing."
He fakes and runs into Naz Reid at one point.
Yeah,
I think he had another bad miss in the lane too because he faked and went into the lane. He needs to stop doing that move. I can't remember the last time he made a shot off that move because he's not going to pass. Right. I mean, he's just not making plays out of that driving position. So, at one point tonight, he's dribbling, lining a guy up, doing the same thing that he did against Giannis in that Milwaukee game before the break. Right. And so I've defended him in every turn. I think they need him. But if he's dribbling the ball, I don't know what Joe can do but sit him down. You just can't dribble like he does.
Yeah.
Dude, you're preaching in the choir. I'm right there with you. I don't understand it either.
And it wasn't like this was one of those games.
You know what
where
you can do? If you don't think you can get the shot off, you can keep it moving. And that's their biggest problem right now, I think, is that they don't keep the ball moving for long stretches of the time. And when you're down to the late shot clock and the possessions like they are, it should be because you work through so many different outlets and you're really just passing and driving and passing and driving and here comes the shot clock because you've been working so hard. It shouldn't be because you're dribbling around and trying to line a guy up and get past him and all this ISO stuff that they did tonight. I mean, it's frustrating to watch, especially when they get down to the fourth quarter, some of the things they're doing offensively right now, because they made so much progress, Jimmy. They really did. Like, we thought they solved so many of these issues, and like, this is stuff we talked about in 2021, 2020 in the bubble. These are old issues that are popping up again.
Facts, my dog.
There they are.
Bobby, you said something about, it was you who tweeted today or retweeted a video clip from DeMarcus Cousins. Is this accurate so far?
Yeah.
Is DeMarcus Cousins, like, does he have his own podcast?
Bobby's
on
like, I would never.
I think he was a guest.
What are you
on
talking about?
Cool shot.
Okay, so DeMarcus Cousins was on a podcast, and he said that.
Yeah, he's been doing stuff on. He's been doing stuff with Showtime lately.
Oh, has he been on there consistently? Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a frequent guest. Yeah.
And he basically said, Bobby, that he's not concerned about this Celtics team. This is just a case of, what, being bored of a long season?
I'm like, what do you know about that, DeMarcus?
I was going to say, first of all, like, you're about as qualified as I am to make that statement.
That's messed up. A little more qualified. Come on, Jimmy. A little more.
He said,
when it comes to winning seasons and, like, playoff basketball, I think.
Yeah, right.
There.
What do you know about that life?
he said Boston's recent 5-5 run is just typical post all star boredom.
Like, DeMarcus, what do you know about that? Like, what?
And that might be, if that's typical to him, that might explain why he's talking about it and not playing in it.
Yeah, I feel like that's his way of being like, that's the way I'd be handling this season.
Funny? Because I don't think he realizes that they changed the schedule. So a couple years ago, when you came out of the break, you'd have all of March and then almost all of April before you hit the playoffs. So that March would really be a slog for teams. Yeah. Now you're in that stretch run. I mean, there's probably like 2 or 3 games in April period before the playoffs. Right. So you're under 15 games to go right now. These aren't the dog days. This is the stretch run.
Yeah, it used to be like smack middle of April or even like closer to like the 20th when the playoffs would start.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the play-in tournament, maybe
the Celtics don't realize that.
That's true. Maybe we can remind him. But, I mean, with that being said.
Yeah, Bobby should remind him.
I got into a little Twitter debate, which I don't really tweet as much as I used to, but I just happened to be on today for a little bit. And
was it about the Patriots?
No, it wasn't actually. I don't debate about the Patriots. Everything I say is just fact. But with the Celtics, and there seems to be this notion that you shouldn't be worried about the Celtics because, you know,
was it below the boogie tweet?
They know what they're doing. You know, they went to the NBA Finals last year. You know, all this stuff, and this is just like I guess Boogie Cousins said, the dog days of the season. The Celtics haven't won a damn thing, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, the way I see it is they've lost opportunities to, you know, advance, whether it was in the bubble, whether it was last year in the NBA Finals. You know, they've had talented teams, and in my opinion, they've come up short. I don't know what.
Hold on, here's Jimmy's exchange.
Oh, here you go.
People are acting like this team's ever won anything. It's the opposite. They've never won. Until they do, I don't understand the confidence. This guy came back with some win totals from the last couple of years. They've won games, yes, but they ultimately come up short in the playoffs every year, including two seasons, bubble in last year, where they had a real chance to win a title and blew it. Again, they haven't won anything, and if titles are what you care about.
This is what happens if you if you're in Jimmy's mentions, he wants all the smoke. So this is what happened.
Well, they were having their own combo, and I was like, "Yo, if you're gonna keep including me in the,
you got the seal of approval,
right? You got exactly when you get a certain number of notifications, and if you're on the wrong side of the argument, Jimmy's gonna clap back at you.
Look at this one. This one's this kid's right, exactly, Jimmy. JT talking low energy. JB talking about letting go of the rope. Maybe it's time to get some popcorn and go watch last year's finals. Maybe that will
go cause to the movie.
Energy They've to been doing shift. That. But that's exactly where I'm at with this team. They don't have the authority. They don't have the. They aren't the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, they don't know what
this
it
is like. Returning champion. They don't problems. Yeah.
They have. Yeah. They have. They have no right to flip the switch off and on, or to be bored, or to play lethargic. They need to come out and play like they want to be champions. The champions that they've never been before. This team doesn't have a single one on this team. So don't tell me that they have it all under control and that there's nothing to be concerned about. When I see the style of play,
popcorn right now.
Yeah, when I see this, you hear that? That's popcorn right there. When I see the style of play that I'm seeing, that doesn't tell me that that's a team that's prepared or ready to win a championship. And I don't want to hear the same excuses if they get eliminated from the playoffs again. That was my mic.
There you have it. We all got upset. Yeah. Joe Sway, you got a rant before we close it out?
What's that?
You got a rant before we close this one out? Me and Jimmy had ours.
No, I feel like I went on my little thing, too. It's just about closing out games and trying to bring this momentum onto the rest of the trip. But, yeah, I expect the offense to look much better. And if it doesn't, then they're going to be in this type of situation at the end of games where it's like a 50-50 thing if they're going to win it or not, you know, and it's not going to matter who they're playing against, because that's just what happens when you don't find your rhythm on offense and you're unable to stop the bleeding on the opposite end. I just feel like, especially in the second half, teams are just prone to go on these big runs, or especially in the fourth quarter rather, and
it's happening like, every game right now,
right, especially in the fourth, and something's just like, oh yeah, this is part of it. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be, you know. You can build a solid lead and then hold on to it and go into the last couple of minutes with a sense of security.
Well, good thing is you're playing three of the worst defenses in the league coming up.
That's Portland, what I'm saying. So you better.
Portland, Utah, Kings. Mm. You should really lay into these teams. Now the Kings is going to be a battle.
Good way to get your shot back.
That Kings game is going to be something. I can't wait for that one next Tuesday. But first, it's Blazers on Friday. You took care of that team really easily last week.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the Jazz yet this year, which is crazy to think about at this point in the season. They're going to play them twice over the next couple of weeks here. So, be that Danny reunion on Saturday. I know you guys aren't going to be there for those games.
Watch the Jazz steal one. Watch the Jazz
easily.
One.
I mean, they play hard. They're tough. They got Markkanen. That'll be a tough one. I don't think Portland's going to do much on Friday, but they're at home. That can be a tough home court. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got to come out of this road trip with, I think, four wins for it to be a success. Maybe five.
I agree with that. 4-2 wouldn't be bad, considering what this team looked like before the trip. I think 4-2 would be solid.
Yeah, you might drop that Kings one at the end.
That's the line, though. If you go 3-3, that's a failed trip for sure.
I agree.
And you're probably out of the one seed.
Because the teams you're playing against, right.
And check out the standings right now. Philly keeps winning. Another win for them tonight. And they are now, I think, just a half game behind you. For that one whole game, but still,
that was a big comeback for them too. I think they were down.
They've
13.
Won 6 straight, 7-10. You're not that far ahead of them, so you got to win every game to keep them off. It almost feels like that's what you're playing for at this point, is too, because the Bucks just never lose anymore. So I don't know how you're going to be able to surmount them, though. You do play them at the end of the month, so.
Discover how Chad Bestwich and Artemis Dax of some company you've never heard of were able to reach the next frontier of the cloud without a starship or even cool space uniforms. All they needed was Pluralsight. Watch Nebulo's Journey to the Cloud and discover how you can move to the cloud like a normal human being at Pluralsight.com/vision. That's Pluralsight.com/vision.
What is that now? 22 out of 24 or something like that? Jeez.
Did they play tonight? Because they might have stacked another win on top of it.
Mad W's. It's a lot.
No, they played yesterday. So, yeah, 22 of 24 with Giannis.
22 out of the last 24 games.
That's like a run the Celtics had last year around this time.
A couple of weeks ago, most of those fans were just like, they don't want these kind of problems. I'm like, I think they do. I think they've been ramping up and they've been adding players. They've been finding momentum at the right time. I mean, they kind of look like what the Celtics looked like last year, right? Around this
I think all their role guys who were just killing it, Portis, Holiday's been amazing all year. Lopez, I can't believe
huge.
The seasons he's had.
Yeah, he could. He's a candidate for a defensive player of the year.
And when you look at the Celtics, Smart struggling. You got that question in the front court with Grant. Horford's been a rock. Like, they're so lucky he's played the way he has, because they haven't had much else there. I don't know where Muscala is at this point. He didn't play again tonight.
That's an interesting take.
Hauser's 2 minutes, so he isn't really building on anything. And Griffin, again, give him credit for what he's doing. I don't know if you're finding anything there, unless you disagree, Josue.
You know how I feel about Blake. He is.
Can he be a playoff rock for them?
When he's
definition of rock,
yeah,
like a guy who's gonna play every night and give you something every night.
No, I don't think he'll be that guy.
I don't think Joe allows anyone to feel that way about anybody on the bench. Does anyone have that aside from Brogdon?
Yeah,
you don't know who's gonna play what on any given night. You could get a guy who'll give you 30 one night and 3 the next.
Hauser's probably thinking that a little bit after tonight. Yeah, that's a fair point, but I just don't think. I mean, For Blake, for someone for who he is and at this stage of his career, I just think he's one of those guys that can just really give you one or two games throughout a series where you're just like, man, like that was a big impact. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be, giving you that type of performance every single night.
Well, credit to him. He's given them a few good ones on this trip so far.
Oh, yeah. No question. Especially in those first two rounds, the playoffs. I mean, yeah, you're going to throw different bodies at Giannis when that happens, these conference finals. But Blake will be a part of that, but I don't know if that's
going
to be.
How to guard Giannis. That might be the most important part of this edition when that time comes. But
I mean, that's the part that, when you signed him, you wanted that extra reinforcement for sure.
And you know that he's not taking plays off. No. He's out there.
Right.
He's earning every minute of his playing time. If something goes south, it's not due
to lack
of
effort. You know what I love about him?
Exactly, which is why he's getting playing time.
What I love about him more than anything else is every time he does something, he's got to look over the bench and be like, did you see that?
Yeah. Did you see what he did with the jump ball?
When he dunked it tonight.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
And the jump ball.
He looked over just like, yeah, got that.
Yeah.
I still got it. I still got those ups.
Oh, my God.
He's like, yeah, we saw it, Blake. We saw it. Yeah.
They should just put him at the podium more often for the laughs.
Oh, totally. You know what?
Even in the locker room, Bobby, the stuff that he says, like, off camera is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, he's just
He should have his own podcast. He should.
Oh, that's coming. That's coming after his playing.
We should start talking to him. Yeah. His playing days are coming to an end. Let's see what we can set up.
Yeah, get him on the network.
Bobby and Blake, how's that sound?
It's Sounds all right, that. But
that's like a, good, a little Starsky and
it
Hutch.
Would be a good combination. I just don't love the name of that one, but yeah, not crazy.
Yeah, yeah, we need it. I don't know if you're going to get the name of it. Might be Blake and Bobby. Star.
Remember his
Blake and Bobby just sounds better, though. Blake and Bobby, yeah.
Remember that SP skit he did with Drake? He was like, should we call it Drake or Blake? Or Blake and Drake?
Right. Right. He's funny, man. He's Tim a really makes funny a good, guy.
Tim makes a good point. We can't talk about this with Cornette if Cornette's still on the team.
I'm just saying Cornette has many years ahead in his career. Griffin's at that finish line, so he might be.
In case he's watching, okay, Bob, you're good.
Yeah. Real quick, just to put a bow on things, we were talking about playoff seeding. I mean, it's Bucks, Celtics right now. It's Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Cavs, Knicks, Nets, and really from Cleveland, who's 7.5 back, to Miami in the 7th seed, who's 13. Of ways. I mean, it's certainly not settled. You get the Knicks who are 10 back and the Nets who are 11 back. So if you're the Celtics and you fall into that three spot,
you're going to get a real series round one.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if Brooklyn, Atlanta, Washington, and you know how I feel about Toronto, but they're struggling. Those four teams might be walkthroughs if you can get two. Miami, even though I'm not the most confident guy in them in the world, you'd take those other teams over them right now. They're probably going to get up.
Jimmy Butler's a Celtics killer.
Yeah. That'd be a monster first-round series. Remember the Nets last year? That might even be harder than the Nets were last year, but we'll see.
Well, the Nets weren't hard, really.
Each game it was. I mean,
yeah,
as a series it wasn't. But
Kyrie had his game.
I think the margin of victory at the end of the series was like 7.
Yeah, you're right.
So they were close games.
But yeah, that's what you want to avoid is these battle. I mean, it's going to happen. Let's be real. You know, the NBA, there's no cakewalk. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a cakewalk. If the Celtics are playing anywhere like they're playing now, it's not going to be a cakewalk whatsoever. Now, if they're playing like they were the first month of the year, then yeah, rounds of the playoffs, and then they'll meet the Bucks. That's why they need to get their SHIT.
They shouldn't fall to 3. Like, I know they've fallen from 1.
They're right
Bucks
there.
Rolling. But no, I mean, right, I'm just saying, Bobby, in terms of what we expect from them, they should not fall behind Philly. Like,
you should
ramp it up, rack up these wins, and seal the deal. And you got another game against them too, which is going to help you too.
I was just going to ask that. Do you have Philly? You have another
April,
one against Philly?
April 4th, so a couple weeks from now in Philly.
Ooh, that's a big game.
Yep.
All right, that's it, fellas. We want to thank everybody for hanging out with us and watching tonight. We also want to thank our friends over at FanDuel. Make sure you guys go to FanDuel.com/Boston for $200 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 bet. That's just with a $10 deposit. Don't forget, there is an automatic the promo bet going on tomorrow, guys. What did I say? West Virginia versus...
They're playing...
Let me get this one right. West Virginia versus Maryland. All they have to do in that game is score a single point. And you get your bet. So if that's not a reason to sign up for, I don't know what it is. So we'll get to, once again,
free money.
That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Celtics take this one in Minnesota, 104-102. They will be in Portland on Friday to catch up with Damian Lillard, who had some really interesting comments. We're not going to get into them now, but maybe you guys will talk about them. It's Saturday. It's not Friday. It's Saturday.
About not wanting to tank or whatever? I mean, not
about,
tank.
About not wanting to chase rings. Yeah, jump ships, chase rings with their team, and how the NBA has kind of changed.
No, it's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday?
That's Friday,
I
think
it was Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. Okay,
Utah,
so
Saturday.
It's back-to-back,
Oh, it's back-to-back. There you go. So Friday in Portland against Lillard. He just talks about how the NBA has kind of changed since he entered the league and how – you know, basically there's a lot more to playing in the NBA than just chasing titles. You know, he wants to play for his teammates and play for his city, and he finds honor in those things other than just ring chasing, jumping ship. So check that out. You guys have anything you guys are working on or doing right now?
Nope.
Anything you want to plug?
Wish we were out there on the road, but we'll ramp it back up when they get back here to Boston.
Joe Sway, you got a podcast out recently, no?
No, the Isaiah Thomas interview. Yeah, Cedric Maxwell podcast. Check it out. Part 2 is out this week. man, incredible stuff. Just those two clicking and going down memory lane, but really insightful stuff from Isaiah. And of course, Max is lining them up with the best questions, man. Just a really great sit down, which of course is why we had to make it a two-parter, you know. So second one's out this week, so check it out if you haven't already.
Are you gonna make us like Isaiah?
I mean,
are we gonna come out of there like
a little bit? Yeah, a little bit, but you still he still talks.
There was a good thing on Jalen in there.
His Pistons, you know, ish. So
yeah, good.
Okay. Yeah, great Jalen story in there as well. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Great stories.
All right, everybody, check that out, and we will see you guys.
Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more on America's number one sportsbook.